I would encourage you to turn in your Bibles or your devices to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at verses 10 to 20 as we continue in our study of the armor of God. I want to look with you this morning at the gospel of peace. And as you're turning to that, I just want to again reemphasize what our brother was just saying in the announcements. Leonard was talking to us about the breakfast this coming Saturday morning. I would encourage you to come. I know we're all busy, but I would encourage you to make a commitment to come to our breakfast this coming Saturday and to bring a friend. I'm asking two friends to come. I'll see if they're my friends or not. No, I'm just kidding. But we're looking forward to getting together. We're going to be having a dear brother, Bill Dodge, who's working with No Man Left Behind. He's going to be speaking to us. Folks, it's all about men's discipleship. Jesus called us to what? Make disciples. And that's what we want to be about. So I would encourage you, as you have the opportunity, make this coming Saturday morning, 8 to 9. We're going to have a wonderful breakfast. I know that because there's a member of my household that's going to be doing that, and it is not me. So please make an effort to be with us. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. A number of years ago, when I was pastoring in Raleigh, North Carolina, we had the President of the United States come to our city and visit us. You can imagine the buzz that went through that city. I mean, it just filled all the newspapers, all the conversation. I remember reading one of the headlines that said that even the president's sandwich was given a great deal of care and security. I mean, you and I probably can't imagine all the steps that are taken to keep the president safe, to keep him prepared for what is going on in the world. I remember one of the times they talked about the little black briefcase that's coded, that always goes with the president wherever he goes, so that if anything happens anywhere in the world, on a moment's notice, the president can be alerted and he can take steps to defend us. This is what Paul is talking about here. He's concerned that you and I be prepared, that you and I as believers be prepared to walk the walk, to stand firm, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if you would pull out your bulletin, I would like for you to follow along in the outline, because Paul is telling us two things this morning. First of all, he's saying, take your stand. Secondly, he's saying, tie your shoes. Take your stand. Tie your shoes. This is Paul's concern. He's saying, first of all, take your stand. He says at the beginning of verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Paul commands the believer to put on the belt of truth and then the breastplate of righteousness. And then he comes to this idea that we are to stand firm with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Paul's first concern here, really his concern throughout this passage, is that we be ready, that we stand firm. I know this past week we've all been concerned about the weather. I mean, it's been the consuming topic of conversation. I mean, with Helene and then Milton coming through the area, how could any other conversation be more paramount? Our son, Aaron, our youngest son, has just been deployed to Sicily. He's a pilot with the Navy, a reconnaissance pilot, and he's now there in that war zone. They fly out 4 hours and fly back, and he can't tell us all the things that he's doing. But because he's out there, and we have his wife and their two little girls, 3 and 1.5, about 10 minutes away from where Margie and I live, we decided to move in with them for a week just to make sure everything was okay because Daddy wasn't there. And when we got there, we made preparations. We took the picnic table and turned it upside down. There was a big umbrella on the top. We took that and brought it inside. Why? So that the winds wouldn't blow it over or blow into the house. We made sure there was extra food, extra water. We had made sure that we had gas in the cars. Why? Why did we do all of that? So that we would be prepared for the storm. Folks, the analogy couldn't be more clear, could it? We're in a storm today. No, there's no wind blowing right now. There's no rain pouring down. There's no tornadoes going through. But we are in a storm. It's called a storm of immorality. A storm of mocking God and mocking the Word of God. It's a storm that's involved with the disbelief of who this God is. You and I are in a storm. And the Lord is calling us to be prepared. I love what this last phrase, this exhortation, so befitting us, that we be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's what I want us to concentrate on this morning. You and I, that we would stand firm by being filled and fitted with the readiness of the shoes that come from the gospel of peace. So look with me, first of all, at the context. I want to take you back to verse 13. Paul writes, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Folks, first and foremost, to be able to take that stand, to be able to hold ourselves against the storms of life, we have to have strength. We have to have the strength of the Spirit, the strength of the Lord. We're to be on ready alert, aren't we? I mean, we are to always, in every situation, be prepared to give an account for the hope that's within us. You and I are to be on constant alert, like servicemen at a sack base, like firemen ready to go into a building, like a woman who is preparing food for family that is coming into her house, like the National Guard who have been on alert over these past couple weeks, ready to go into Asheville, North Carolina, or into the southwest area of Florida. This is to be our posture, folks. We're to be ready. On every occasion, we are constantly to be ready and equipped in and out of season, when we expect it and when we don't, when it's an interruption and when it isn't. But there's a problem here, isn't there? It's a struggle. It's a struggle to be ready. Sometimes we know what we're to say, but we just shy back from saying it. Sometimes we don't know what to say, and so we walk away from it as well. But folks, you and I as believers, we're not to be back in the corner. We're not to be glad that we're heading to heaven and just ignore what's going on in and around our communities, in our workplaces, in our families. We're to be ready to speak out the truth of Jesus Christ. Folks, we're to live holy lives and make a difference in this world. It's not easy to stand alone for the Lord. It will mark you. Maybe you'll be disadvantaged because you stand for being a believer. You stand for the Word of God. You stand out. You might be mocked. You might be in the spotlight. And we don't like to be in the spotlight. Because sometimes if we're in the spotlight and we mess up, then we feel like we've messed up the cause of Christ. It's easier to be in the backstage. But that's not what Christ has called us to be. He's called us to be there at the front lines. He's saying, I know you're going to blow it. I know you're going to make a mess. I know you're going to be a failure at times. But that's exactly what I want the world to see. I want the world to see that Christians aren't perfect. I want them to see that Christians get angry. Christians sin. Christians lose their temper. Christians overeat. Christians underlove. But that God loves us in spite of that. We are forgiven. We are to be those ambassadors of Christ. Listen to this. I love what Randy Alcorn says about the church. He says that the Christ-centered church is not a showcase for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. Write that down. The Christ-centered church is not a showcase for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And as Paul says, I am chief of the sinners. Folks, that's who we are. So we need to stand strong in that position, in that posture. I love what Habakkuk says in 3:19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. Is he yours? The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go to the heights. Folks, I have never seen a single individual climb a mountain without some degree of struggle. God is saying to you and me today, yeah, I know it's a struggle, but I'm with you. Hannah Hennard, in her classic Hinds Feet on High Places, writes this. It's a story about a little deer, a female deer called Much Afraid, and her chief shepherd, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. She wants to be in the high places, but she's afraid. And so the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, Hannah writes this. It's quite true that the way to the high places is both difficult and dangerous. It has to be. So that nothing which is an enemy of love can make the ascent and invade the kingdom. Nothing blemished or in any way imperfect is allowed here. And the inhabitants of the high places do need hinds feet. I have them myself. He added with a smile, and like a young deer or a roebuck, I can go leaping on the mountains and skipping on the hills with the greatest of ease and pleasure. But Much Afraid, I could make yours like hinds feet. I could make yours like hinds feet and set you upon the high places. You could serve me then much more fully and be out of the reach of your enemy. Folks, that's what the Lord is saying to you and me. He's saying that we can go leaping on the mountains. We can go skipping on the hills. So how do we do this? How do we focus on this command? Folks, I need to look with you at the commission. Those of us who have been given a ministry, we've been commissioned by the Lord. First of all, it's a matter of mentality, isn't it? That you understand the truth, that you have accepted Christ into your life, that He is your Lord and Savior. You understand that truth. That truth is embodied in your life, your lifestyle. But then there's a makeup. The makeup depends on the mentality. And your makeup is who you are in Christ, that it's Christ's righteousness, not you. It's His Spirit that works, not you. And that works then to yield a ministry. What we do, how we respond, how we act out there among those who yet don't know the Lord, and even those who do. Paul is saying, you got a commission. I'm giving you a commission, soldier. be about the ministry of sharing the good news. Have this ministry always at the back of your mind, always ready to share the plan of salvation with others. But this ministry is absolutely dependent upon your makeup, who you are, knowing who you are, that you are a blood-bought child of the Most High God, that you've been rescued, forgiven, you're on your way to heaven, and nothing in this world will take you away from God's love. That's your makeup. And that makeup gives you a right mentality. That makeup comes from a right mentality, knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. And that yields a ministry. So you say, how do I fulfill this commission? What do I do? Paul gives us the answer here. He says, Christian, tie your shoes. He says, fit your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I love that. I see it as tying my shoes. I was talking with another brother in Christ yesterday, and he said, you know, you ought to go up there with no shoes and socks on. I said, well, I couldn't do that. We're to tie our shoes. We're to be fitted with the readiness that comes from this gospel of peace. When Paul says fitted with the gospel produced readiness, he's talking about being able to share this good news, allowing it to shape our attitudes and control our frustrations, allowing it to govern our responses and guide our thinking. It's talking about allowing to protect us from the deception of the evil one and to become so familiar with it that we can readily share it with others. I love what Isaiah says, Isaiah 52, verse 7. He says, how beautiful on the mountains are what? The feet. Did you know you have beautiful feet? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. So let me ask you, are your shoes tied? You know, I wrestled in high school, and every now and then, my shoelace would come untied. I was so grateful when that shoe came untied, because the ref would call a halt to the wrestling match, give me a breather, I'd tie my shoe. Of course, the other guy said, I'm stalling. No, I was never doing that. Folks, I have yet to see a good coach allow an athlete to go on the field with his shoes untied. I mean, how ridiculous would that be? He couldn't perform. He couldn't be involved in the game. He couldn't function. Couldn't operate. We only have to look at the sandal, the Roman sandal, to get this picture even more tightly in our minds. The Roman sandal was called the caligae, C-A-L-I-G-A-E, a caligae or half boot. It was made of very sturdy leather. It had heavy studs or nails on the bottom of this boot. The half boot was tied to the foot by being wrapped underneath the calf by this long leather cord. And if the sandal or shoe here represents the gospel that we are to lean upon, I think there's a number of principles that we can gain from looking at this boot. First, the studs or the nails cause the soldier to be anchored, gives him that anchor, that steadfastness, that foundation, that solid footing. Paul says we are to be fitted. Literally, it means, that word fitted means to be bound under. And what's being seen here is this leather strap coming under that sandal, under that boot, under those nails, under those studs, and then being tied to the calf. Folks, the analogy again is very clear, isn't it? We are to be bound by this gospel. It is to be the underpinning for us. It is to be our anchor. Just as the nails and the studs anchored him in place, so too the gospel is to be our anchor. We are to be rooted and grounded in this word of God. How many marriages suffer because one or both of the spouses aren't living grounded and rooted in this word of God? I was just the other day talking with a relative whose sister has just gotten a divorce after 23 years. Why? Because she's dependent upon a financial package and a good home and a good workplace rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. I had opportunity to see a video from our district superintendent put it online. You could go on go online and look at it. It's a testimony from Johnny Erickson Tata. Many of you know the story. Years ago, she was in a bad accident, broke her back, and had been paralyzed ever since in a wheelchair, but she's had a phenomenal ministry. But she was being interviewed on TBN the other week, just a few days, I think it was October 8th. And she was talking about how when this first happened, she went to church after church after church, asking to be anointed, asking them to pray that she would be healed. And she said, over and over and over again, I would pray and they would pray and I would walk away. I wasn't healed. And she said to the interviewer, she said, I would read about this good God and all the good things that he was doing. And she said, I cried out to him, you're a good God. What's going on? And she said, finally, the Lord spoke into her heart. And she realized, she said, finally, I came to the realization that good is defined by God in many different ways other than the way I was seeing it. She said good meant courage. Good meant perseverance. Good meant gratitude. Folks, that's being anchored in the Word of God, even through the storm of life. But secondly, this caligae, this half boot, gave the Roman soldier agility. Not only was it an anchor, it gave him agility. It enabled him to move about steadfastly and avoid the arrows and the swipes of the enemy. I mean, the picture that comes to my mind is two teams playing football, and the one team it's a rainy, grassy field, and the one team has on simple sneakers. And the other team has on regulated football cleats. I mean, who's going to win that game? We need to be anchored and have the agility to move about by being fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. You and I are able to be agile and flexible, engaging those with different opinions. We're able to have compassion and patience. We're able to engage people with grace, even though sometimes they're repugnant and turn us off. So this caligae gives you an anchor. It gives you agility, but it also gives you comfort, gives you peace. I mean, think about it. The Roman soldier marched many, many miles, and he had to have a comfortable boot. And it's the same for you and me. We're talking about a gospel of peace. We are fitted with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but Jesus, folks, nothing but Jesus can give you and me that peace. 2 weeks ago, I was down in Fort Myers. Praise God, I was down there then and not last week. But I was at Fort Myers at one of our Alliance retirement centers, Shell Point. And during our board meeting, one of the men on the board who is a financial counselor said this to our board. In all my years of financial counseling experience, I have never seen a client who had peace simply because they had money. I thought, wow. I mean, it tied in with the Ecclesiastes 5:10 that I just shared with you. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Only Jesus can give us that peace. Being anchored, agile, comforted by the peace of Christ enables you and me to be available. It makes you and me confident. We can be more ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Folks, it's of no value if we aren't practicing this, if we aren't being discipled, if we aren't being led to do this work. I love the fact that D. James Kennedy, the founder of Evangelism Explosion, the pastor of First Presbyterian in Fort Lauderdale years ago, said this. He wanted to be a witness, but he didn't know how. Bill Bright with Campus Crusade for Christ wrote, "I needed someone to take my hand and personally walk me through this seemingly dark and dangerous forest of witnessing." Someone did. And look what God did through these two men. So, let me offer, we're talking about our feet fitted with the shoes, the gospel, the shoes of peace. Let me offer you some different styles of shoes. Now, I'm being a little facetious here. I want these to be, you can look at them in your outline. I want them to be sticking in your mind. I want you to understand the different kinds of shoes that we have. Did you know that the church is nothing more and nothing less than a sanctified shoe store? We, under the power of the Spirit of God, offer many different styles of shoes that people can be fitted with. So first of all, there's the Alpha Oxford. If you've never heard of the Alpha Course, it's a wonderful, wonderful, very, very careful way of, it's a pre-evangelism strategy where you can invite people to your home. There's a video. You show the video. It's a 15-week course. And you know what the Bible study is? All right, for all those of us who are really heavy in theological knowledge, the Bible study after the video is, what'd you think of the video? And folks, I can't tell you how many times people are brought into this conversation and eventually by the Spirit of God led to Him. What happens over the 15 weeks is you have a very simple supper. And as we walk through these 15 weeks, as people come back and sit at the supper table, you hear them talking about last week's video. And you hear them exchanging, you hear them asking questions. I love the Alpha Oxford. Oh, but then there's the 2-7 slipper. And that comes from the Navigators. The Navigators, a Christian organization that created the 2-7 approach to reaching people for Christ. It's based on Colossians 2:7, which says that, so just as you have believed in Christ, received Christ, so live in Him. A beautiful, wonderful way to learn how to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, and then, of course, one I love. It's called the 4-Law Loafer. I keep one of these in my wallet. And as the Lord gives me opportunity, I give it out. And when I have the opportunity to sit down with an individual, I take a pen or a pencil. And as I'm reading this with this person, I use my pen or pencil so that they're focused on this, not looking at me, not looking at, you know, out the window. It's a beautiful picture of how to share the gospel with someone. The 4-Law Loafer. Ah, yet, there's another. We have what we call the Weaver's Stories Wingtips. Folks, we're engaged in that right now here at this church. Brother Brian, along with Luz and Angel, we meet at Luz and Angel's home, and our own dear Dot Horseman, who is a part of Evangelism Explosion, is sharing with us how to take common conversation and weave that story into an ultimately to be able to share the good news with the person and see them come to Christ. I was honestly going to have Brian come up here on the platform. I was going to have two tables and kind of make a show of kind of, here's two people sitting in Starbucks, and the one person starts to share, and you ask questions. The way the Weaver's story, I'm sharing this with you because I'm praying that you might be enticed, moved by the Spirit to take the training of Weaver's Stories. What they talk about, it's called toga. That's the analogy they use. Their story, your story, their story, that's the T. The O is others' story. G is, that would be your story. G would be God's story. And A means their ultimate knowing the Lord. T-O-G-A. Their story. You hear what they're going through. And then you find a way to associate yourself in some form or fashion with their pain or their fear, their anxiety. You tell your own story where you've had something similar to that. And then you work your way to, you know, there's a story I'd like to share with you that really spoke to me and helped me in my situation like yours. And that leads you into one of God's stories. And then ultimately this leads to where a person is able to understand and receive Christ into his life. Weaver's wingtips. And then I've just put down the overseas overshoes. I mean, I love this. This is missions. The Alliance has, I believe, one of the strongest missionary efforts in Christendom across the world. One of the elements that we have in our missions program is called Envision, where a person, a young person, could go for 2-3 months in a foreign country and just see if, Lord, this is what you're leading me to, envision. Well, there are a lot of different ways, a lot of different shoes that we can put on. We can see missions efforts in terms of the chaplaincy program, terms of police and recovery ministries. There's all kinds of ways, dear friends, that we can put on, be fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We need every one of us to find the right style of shoe that fits our personality, what you're comfortable with. I love what Johannes Blau says in terms of missionary work. He says, missionary work is like a pair of sandals that have been given to the church in order that it shall set out on the road and keep on going to make known the mystery of the gospel. Folks, the lost are under no obligation to come to this church. But we, as believers, are under obligation because of the love of Christ. We are under obligation to go to them as the Spirit leads us, as He opens the door, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter admonishes us, always be prepared. Can I say that again? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that lies within you. Folks, let's keep our shoes tied. Father, thank you for this opportunity to explore your word, to hear your word to us. Lord, you're patient and kind. Lord, you're not overwhelming. You lead us and guide us with a gentle hand, but Lord, you do desire that we be involved in reaching those who are yet outside the kingdom of God. And it is not easy. It is at times scary. It does interrupt our busy lifestyle. But I pray, Lord, for myself. Lord, I pray for myself that with all the responsibilities that I have, with all the many different issues that flood into mine and my wife's lives, Lord, that I would make time to share the good news with the lost. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.